A men's Gaelic football team are put through their paces. Like training sessions throughout the country, theirs is a mix of well-worn drills and good-natured banter.
Okay, when you get to the second cone, just turn and a kick pass in.
Except this isn't Ireland. The thing is, while we've all heard of GAA clubs the length and breadth of the country, unable to field teams because their younger players have emigrated, it recently occurred to me that the flip side of this must surely be that clubs abroad are benefiting from this outflow.
Right, next to you.
Which is why I find myself on a balmy autumn Wednesday evening in a very noisy public park on the outskirts of Stockholm, watching Sweden's top GAA football team, the Stockholm Gaels, as they put in some light training ahead of the upcoming weekend's final one-day tournament of the annual Scandinavian Championships. If my hunch is correct, over the next few days, I'll see some of the positive impact of our young people's leaving firsthand. Taking a break to observe his teammates who've dominated the competition of late is one of the club's founders and its undoubted driving force, Dubliner Philip O'Connor.
This is the final training session before we all get in the bus and drive down to Malmo on Friday evening and try and take back this trophy that we've won for the last 2 years. So we're going for three in a row.
That's good, boys. We're paving the run far better.
Is this where you normally train?
Yeah, it's usually not this noisy, but you know, this being the end of the summer now, we have people there sort of filling up hot air balloons. We have an Australian rules team. We have guys playing frisbees. A part of this is the problem that we have, that we've basically got the sort of same level of status as darts in this country, which is, you know, it makes it very, very difficult to find places to play. The city are good. They let us play here, but you may very well find somebody with a hot air balloon in the middle of your pitch.
Okay, just
hold
it when you get in a second.
Another co-founder, the Gaels' currently injured midfielder, is Antrim-born Niall Scullion, who, amidst the understandable optimism, has some last-minute words of caution.
Right, that is our last training session before the weekend, and it's the last round of the championship this weekend, and we all know the position we're in. It's ours to throw away, and that's what we definitely don't want to do, okay? Now, we've worked really hard to be in the position we're in. It's the best position we've ever been in going into the last round. We're 100% at the minute. We've never had a season. This is our third season in the championship. We haven't had a clean sweep. We've always lost one of the tournaments in the year. Okay? We want to take all three this year. We want to go down here this weekend and make sure that we do come back up with a clean sweep.
Logistics, meanwhile, are the responsibility of third co-founder, forward and carryman, Colin Courtney.
Whoever's taking the bus is leaving at 4 o'clock Friday from the Dubliner. I think the first draw hasn't been sent out yet, but I think we're up against Malmo first. So straight into the cauldron. Malmo are going to have a strong team. There's six teams in the championship. There's going to be two groups of three. It's the first time. It's the biggest one we've had so far, the biggest tournament. So it's going to be tough, lads. There's going to be a lot of strong teams down there.
Good stuff, boys. Let's do it. Let's go for it.
Cheers, lads.
Good session.
Klart när de 200 drabbade efter vindsbranden i Skarpnäck kan flytta tillbaka. Klockan är 16:30. Här är Stockholmsnytt.
Friday morning, and it's breakfast time in the O'Connor Stockholm household.
I said I don't want yogurt. Why is there a bowl in front of me?
Philip, a freelance journalist, has lived in Sweden for over 13 years. And, as seems to be the case with many of the club's men folk, he came here originally for the love of a good woman.
What time is your mother
coming to
collect
them? 3-ish, because I said you're leaving yesterday, so that means she's coming in 3.
This morning, as he and his Swedish wife Maria are getting their two young daughters ready for school, he recalls the club's early, uncertain days.
I was actually here about 10 years or so before we set it up. I've been here 13 years and we set it up about 3 years ago. Now, we tried beforehand a couple of times to set it up, but again, you didn't have the sort of the level of the Irish community here. You had lads who were working at night who weren't able to travel, weren't able to do these things. So it took a long time for all the bits to fall into place, because not only that, you're living in a new country. You don't know how things work. Where do I get a pitch? Okay, I want to train on that football pitch that's sort of 600 metres from here. How do I book that? What do I pay for it? What's it going to cost me? Can I book it as a private person or do I have to be a club? So you have to be able to answer all these questions first, because this society, it works very, very well, but it works very, very well because there's a million and one rules before you do anything. And these were all the things that we had to do. And like everything else, that I had to get to know people. I had to find, you know, 10 or 12 other people who were interested in doing this with me and who were willing to commit to this with me. And that it took a long time before I met people who were in a position to be able to do that.
I think I'm horrible.
What did she say?
I just gave her half a sandwich and it's just, I don't know.
And then what happened was it's kind of like, you know, a Python-esque thing whereby I put up a poster in one of the pubs and I was looking for players to play Gaelic football, and Colin Courtney did it at the same time. It's kind of like the people's front of Gaelic football and the Gaelic football people's front. And then we sort of said, okay, we had very, even the email addresses were very, very similar. So we said, look, there's no sense in setting these things up in competition, so we'll get together. So Colin is over here working for one of the Swedish banks as a consultant. And with him, there were several other Irish lads. Those guys wanted to play as well. So we all ended up getting together and we sort of put it out in those channels that we knew, you know, through the posters and the pubs. And 8 of us turned up for the first time at where we were training the other night at that American football goal. And we got together and it was amazing. It was like we put out the cones and we started doing hand passing drills. And it literally was like somebody had just pressed rewind and brought you back to being 16 at the Ards Reach pitch just there in the Malahide Road. And it was just, it was incredible. The real interest for me came when I had children first, because I figured, okay, you know, they're growing up in Sweden, so they're going to get the Swedish part, they're going to get their mother's heritage and culture there. They're not going to get mine living in Sweden unless I do something about it. And Gaelic games is a big part of my upbringing. I mean, the day I was born, my father went to Croke Park that afternoon. So like that's always been a part of who we were. That's where we went when we were kids. Some of my earliest memories is my mother tying a Dublin scarf around my neck for my father to bring me down there. And those, I wanted them to understand that, not necessarily that my children would ever play the games, but just that they would know where that came from. And the only way to do that is through a club.
Well,
it all depends on whether your behaviour is up until then, doesn't it?
Are you aware of the role the recession in Ireland has played in the Stockholm Gaels?
I'd be very aware of it because I tend to be the point of contact. Like, I'm kind of very visible. And I get emails, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and they'll say, look, at, you know, I heard about the GAA abroad. You know, can I move to Sweden? Can I learn the language? Will I get by with just English? Is there building jobs over there? I'm a carpenter, I'm a bricklayer, whatever. Often fellas would say, oh, well, I played junior football in Kildare, or I played hurling in Galway, or whatever. And that's their connection to the whole thing. So I'd be very, very aware of it.
Except for the funny house.
I have nightmares of, you know, waking up one morning and there's only me and Courtney left and we can't field a team at all and that kind of thing. But, you know, you'd love to see it get better for people. You'd love to see people be able to return home. I almost feel guilty when I'm taking a player like Brendan Egan. Brendan was over here studying. He'd won the Sigurdsson Cup with DCU. He played for Sligo this year in the Championship and we had him for a year last year. Top class players. I'll never turn down fellas like that. That said, I would be delighted if they had the choice to go back home again, you know. So at the same time as I'm praying for a very, very quick recovery in Ireland, I'm praying that there's still a few fellas want to stick around and play football with me. I have first aid kits in that.
They have balls and
dorties. Balls and dirt for the most part. We'll probably load up the van anyway because I want to get away as fast as possible. So we might... Sean, will you grab these bags with me?
That afternoon, and those going by bus to Malmo gather at the Dubliner pub, the team's unofficial HQ.
How are you?
Surviving.
Thank you,
hey,
Don.
Hey, hey.
Geez, the Swedish coming along, Michael. Sound like a native.
How long does it take to get to Malmo? 6 hours.
It depends who's driving, Brent. We should be there by about 6 hours, I'd say.
That's not too bad.
Brendan Grant, where are you playing tomorrow? Or has anybody spoken to you about where you're playing on the pitch tomorrow?
They haven't really said no, but I'd say if I'm going to get a bit of gameplay, I'll be up front anyway.
My name is Brendan Graham. I'm from Banlasloe. I've been in Stockholm about 14 months now. I lived in Australia for 2 years, so it was actually tomorrow, 3 years ago, that I left Banlaslow to move to Australia. And then I met my girlfriend picking tomatoes in North Queensland, in the middle of nowhere, actually, really. And 10 months later, I was on a plane to Stockholm. I found it a bit hard to make friends here when I first came over, and I didn't want to just be going to the pub every weekend, desperate to find someone that was going to give me a job, like, you know. And it was through Phil. He always told me that it's not going to be a safety net for you, but it's going to be a springboard for you, that the club is going to try their best to find accommodation for you. And it's good to get talking to the lads that have Swedish wives and girlfriends, and they've went through all the stuff before, and it's good to get a bit of advice off them. And it's also, like, I started to miss home an awful lot, like, and just to have a bit of crack with the lads as well and make some friends is very important to me. Because now I don't really miss home as much as I used to now, and I feel more like Stockholm is home for me now. And I'm happy enough to be involved with the club, and happy enough to stay here for the long haul anyway.
Sean, how many of the boys that you work with are in the club now?
There's about four of us, I think. Me, Colin, Dick.
My name is Sean Coslow. I'm from a place in Galway called Ballandreen. I came over here about 3 months ago, and I'm working for Swedbank at the moment, and I've started playing football. I flew over here on Sunday, and I was playing football by Tuesday. I was kind of got lucky because I was living with Colin Courtney, and he's one of the managers of the team, and he just said, come on down and play football. I just wanted to go travelling, wanted to see the world, see something different. And I was told there's a job for me in Sweden, and I just jumped at it straight away, said why not. I didn't want to go somewhere like Australia or US at the moment, because I just wanted to go somewhere different, somewhere away from home, somewhere strange, basically, and just see a completely different lifestyle, basically.
And the irony, of course, is that you're playing...
I'm here now playing football is the irony, yeah.
Do you think you'll stay?
I would stay for a good while, anyway, but I would like to do a lot more travelling as well in the future, so... I do love Ireland. I do love... I'm a big home bird, and I do like being home, and... But I don't know what the future plans for me. Like, I'll take it as it comes and see how we get on.
So when was the last time you played a game of football, Michael?
It was under 14. We played for Moy Davis. Play would be an inverted comment. My name is Michael Doherty. I come from Foxford, Mayo, and I moved to Stockholm in October of last year.
Did you know about the Gaels before you landed?
No. I knew the more predominant Irish immigration spots had clubs. Of course, New York and London and Australia and those clubs. Didn't know the Scandinavian had a league.
Why did you leave Ireland in the first place?
I graduated from UCD in 2011 from architecture. Just kind of funny, when I started architecture, it was a very prosperous job. But by the time I'd left, pretty much there wasn't any chance of getting a job in Ireland, per se. And, well, the thing was that I had met a Swedish girl in Dublin the year before. She's also an architect, and she was doing an Erasmus in UCD. And we were together for 7 months, and then we're deciding, like, where I should go, where to move to, and then it just made sense. We might as well try Sweden. This is how I ended up stopping. I came out here without any work. It took me about 7 months to find a job here. It's very difficult when you don't speak the language, especially in architecture. All the consultants work through Swedish, but yeah, eventually I started my job last month, so I think we'll be here for a while.
As we near our destination, the rivalry between the Gaels and their hosts for the weekend bubbles to the surface.
I'm looking forward to it now, especially the fact that we're going down to Malmö, because there's always been a little bit of history between the two clubs as we started. They were sort of the top dogs when we came along. We knocked them off their perch, and they kind of didn't really fancy it a whole lot. And for me, the first time I saw the calendar this year, I saw the last tournament was in Malmö. I was thinking, Jesus, if we're still in with a shout by the time we get down here, that would be something else. To win a third title on this pitch.
If we make it into the final, Phil, that should be good enough, I think, would it be?
Yeah, that should be good enough, but at the same time, Bren, we've more or less been the dominant team the last 2 years, but we've never had a clean sweep. And as I say, having that sort of history with Malmo, and Malmo obviously think that they're going to win the tournament on home soil, they want that. We won their tournament the last time we were down there. And of course, we'd love to just take it off them. We'd love to win all three tournaments and say, OK, who is the best team in Scandinavia? You know, you want to have that argument again, you know?
We haven't had a dry tournament yet.
Are you using the rugby
goals
there?
No,
this is the men's, and the women's are over there.
All right.
So the men's
is
already set up there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fix up the goals
there.
I'll talk to you in a minute.
All right, cheers. Let us know if you
need
a hand.
I'll need a hand, right?
Yeah.
Did you get them
in? Yeah, they're over there, yeah.
Saturday morning, and the Stockholm Gales arrive at Malmö's grounds.
Stay here, we're going to change here, like.
What happens is we play on a tournament basis, right? Because of the geographical location, you know, an away game when you're playing for your club in Dublin is a bus ride away. For us, it's a bus ride of 500 kilometres to Malmö. So we can't play home and away. So we play a selection of tournaments. So it's two groups of three. So we play two group games, a semi-final and a final. The group games are all 20 minutes each. They're 10 minutes a half. The same thing with the semi-final, and then the final itself will be 15 minutes and a half. So that's up to 90 minutes, and it can go on, you know, either way. If you add in the extra time here and there, it's usually about 100 minutes of football you end up having to play. Now, Gaelic Football Club back home never plays more than 60 minutes, and inter-county players play 70 minutes. So we're playing a half an hour on top of that again, and we wouldn't really be up to the levels of fitness that the top inter-county players or that the top club players have. So it's a massive physical demand.
Almost immediately, the men find themselves in the belly of the beast with their opening game against their arch rivals.
Stockholm, let's go!
Right from the beginning, it's a close and hard-fought battle.
Get the yards, ref. Open the bar! That's a great score, Cormac. Great play, Cormac. Great ball. Track it back, lads, into your positions. Let's go!
It's a smaller pitch. We play with 11 aside because there's no pitches big enough. We tend to play on adapted soccer or rugby pitches because a Gaelic football pitch is huge. They're 140 metres long, and your standard soccer pitch is about 100, 105 metres. And that 15 metres makes all the difference in terms of where you place your team. So we play 11 aside.
With too many men up forward, lads. You build her back, Brian.
There's an awful lot more running to do. If you want to find space and the guy's right up against you, you have to keep moving your position all the time. If you stand still in European Gaelic football, you're dead. You can't afford to make a mistake. You can't afford to give the ball away because, you know, one kick of the ball, it could be up the other end. And instead of you scoring, the other team has scored on you. And you also don't have the time because it's only 10 minutes each half to be sort of, you know, you can't go 2 or 3 or 4 points down. You're dead in the water.
Collins, push up.
Back in there, lads!
By late in the second half, it's still nip and tuck, with Stockholm leading by just 2 points and only a couple of minutes left on the clock. Malmö launch an all-out attack with just one thing on their minds, a winning goal. Now trailing by a point, the Gales quickly regroup. It's a close run thing, but in the end, just the start the Gales need. Meanwhile, the Gales ladies team also get off to a winning start.
Come on, Stockholm! Come on, Gila! Move forward!
The ladies football thing was amazing. I mean, it was one of the most miraculous things I've ever seen in sport. We had set it up for the guys, and the next thing I got this angry phone call one day going, okay, I've seen your new website and there's nothing for the women. Are you not setting up a women's team or what? And the amazing thing was that it wasn't an Irish girl on the other end of the line, it was a Swedish girl on the other end of the line.
We have to get the passes a little bit more correct, all right? Don't just.
My name is Anna Rundgaard. I'm from the south of Sweden. I moved to Stockholm about 2.5 years ago, and that time I was coming from Shanghai. I lived in Shanghai for almost 5 years, and I started playing Gaelic football in Shanghai. Yes, it's everyone are very surprised when they hear that. But I was a student in Beijing for a year, and I was moving down to Shanghai. I didn't know anyone in Shanghai, really, so I had an Irish friend in Beijing, and she told me, why don't you get in touch with the Gaelic football team in Shanghai? They have a really good crowd, and they will take good care of you. So I just went on, and I played for almost 4 years in Shanghai. So I got back from Shanghai, and I really wanted to continue playing Gaelic football. So I started Googling, trying to find a team in Stockholm. And there was nothing. There was really nothing on the internet. And I thought, this is so strange. I found a team in Gothenburg. There was one in Copenhagen. I couldn't read anything about the Stockholm team. So I found an email address for a guy in Gothenburg. And he gave me Phil's email address and his phone number. And then I set up my ladies team together with Phil. And that's how it started. Compared to just 2 years ago, I think we've come really, really far. I think we have around between 20 and 30 active players. We have a mix of Irish and Swedish girls, and we have a great spirit in the team, and we keep recruiting new girls all the time.
That's it, Emma! Good job, Emma!
Today we're playing very well. We played 2 games and we won both of them so far. So yeah, we're really improving.
By the end of the day, both the ladies' and the men's teams have made their respective finals. But before entering the fray for the last time, while taking a well-earned break, some of the founders contemplate the impact the club has had off the playing field.
Do you know a perfect example of that there is Lisa Bruton? Mm. She was here, I think she's here 10 or 12 years.
Is it? Here as long
and
as
she me, always said whenever the Gaels started, that was the first time that she came together with the likes of yourself. Mm. Like, we were living here the same amount of time and didn't really know Lisa.
Sure, Keith lived around the corner
exactly.
from me for 2.5 years and we never
exactly.
met. You know?
Look at them examples of a football team taking that together.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not only that, like the amount of emails we get from people coming over from Ireland, and it just creates an instant social network.
Well, even besides the football, I mean, there's so much more that happens with the club. I mean, for instance, I got my car through the clubs. Inadvertently, there's a lot of stuff that is not related to GAA whatsoever that happens through the club. People getting jobs, people getting houses, people getting accommodation.
The best one was the day Anna Rungard was moving. Do you remember that? She's moving an apartment. Yeah. And she said, oh, I'm going to have to get a moving frame. And I said, don't. So instead of that, I said, get 2 crates of beer and a whole bunch of pizzas and the lads will do it. And you can take the money you were going to get and just, you know, throw a few quid in the club kitty. Fair enough, says Rungard. And the next thing, there's 12 lads standing at the door on a Saturday morning. Right, we're ready to go. And they moved her from one apartment
Did they realise you had a boyfriend at that stage? Or?
No. They also broke everything she owned. They couldn't hit the hurdles the whole lot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As luck would have it, both teams now face their deadliest foe, the tournament host Malmo, in their finals. And it's ladies first.
We want to take on today, and this is the first one, okay? So
we
don't give it our best and we bring it
with us.
We're here to win, right?
Yeah!
Yes.
1, 2, 3, Stockholm!
Despite some early setbacks, the Gaels soon turn it around. In the end, the women run out comfortable winners by 5 points. Yeah! At their very first attempt, they're now Scandinavian champions. Then, it's the turn of the men.
Okay, just 30 seconds to do whatever you feel is stiff or sore from the day.
Having got to the final means whatever the result, they too will go back to Stockholm tomorrow as Scandinavian champions.
Boys, we're notoriously bad starters in these finals. This time we know the pressure's off. We've won the overall championship. So let's approach this with no fear whatsoever. No fear at the start of this game. Let's, every final we're nervous and miss really easy shots at the start. Let's get the ball. Let's be confident. Let's be direct. Let's pour through the middle of them. And let's get the ball straight over the bar to start with. Complete and utter confidence. Not one ounce of doubt in any single man. Have complete and utter belief in your own ability and complete confidence that when you get that ball, we're going to just pile it through the middle of them. We're going to do it at speed and we're going to do it in f***ing numbers. Okay, this is it. Let's finish it. Well, fine. Come on.
Here we go.
In a repeat of their opening game, the Gaels are once again up against hosts Malmo and are determined to maintain their season's 100% clean sweep record.
That's the point! No hesitation!
Second time round, the game is equally hard fought.
Go for him again. Good lad, Cormac's there. That's a great ball.
Go on. Finish it. Yes!
In the end, Malmo once more proved no match for their old enemy, and Stockholm emerged victorious by a healthy margin of 2 goals and a point. It's been a phenomenal day for the Gaels. Having achieved all they set out to on the pitch, they know that off it, there's a night celebration ahead still to negotiate.
All right, shall we get this loaded up in the van?
That's a funny collection of heads we have there, boys. What time did you get back at?
4:30.
Do we want to take the trophies in the van or are we going to put them in the boot?
Can we bring them in the front with us, Philip?
I'd rather do that. I don't want that happening to them. They have to go back in the cabinet now.
Sunday morning, and with everyone feeling the various effects of the day and night before, it's time to head home.
Is everybody here?
Yeah. Some scattered trophies back there.
I'm telling you.
Before long, the soothing hum of the engine leaves only those up front, Michael and a noticeably hoarse Philip, awake to assess the weekend.
The first time we drove home from Malmo was actually the first tournament we won, and it really shortened the journey because, you know, when you're driving home happy, it's brilliant. To be driving home with 3 in a row after winning it at Malmo, after not losing a game all year, after the girls winning every game and taking their championship too, it only struck me this morning exactly how big this is. When we started off, 8 fellas in front of the American football goalpost at Yadav, never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd even get a team out on the field.
Obviously, it's a great achievement for the club, and it does show on the journey because it is quite a trek up to Stockholm from Malmö. But
what did you think of the whole thing when everybody got together and started playing?
It is really good. Like, obviously, I only started playing a couple of weeks ago, but now there's a great atmosphere down there. So I really enjoyed the weekend. Well worth it coming down.
And the other great thing is by winning everything, all those other clubs who were down there yesterday are going to want to knock us off our perch the very next time they see us. And that makes us raise our game again and again and again. And at some point it will happen. But that's not going to be the end of the world.
No. It's good for everyone if it's a strong competition.
You know, I think the future is safe in your hands, Michael.
Yeah, Mayo, you know. You trust the Mayo man.
Yeah, exactly.
In front of the post.
It's a choke in the second half.
So, happy day.
Somebody once said to me, "Is, you know, when you're winning all these tournaments, when you win the Scandinavian Championship, you know, is it one of those feelings that's better than sex?" And I said, "Well, you know, if you're going to compare sex and Gaelic football, well, then you're doing at least one of them wrong." But it's just to be sitting here. I mean, I'm just
these are such fantastic moments to have your mates in this van driving up, knowing that every step you ran and every pass you fired out over the sideline and every score you missed, that it's all come down to this, and that when we needed to do it most, which was yesterday, that we delivered, that we've done it all season and that we've done it together. This is a fantastic feeling.
Tuesday evening, and some of the Gales and their families meet up for an end-of-season celebratory barbecue at Phillips.
Hamburger, definitely.
Lovely.
Graham, would you go a burger, would you say?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, no. Nice one.
Close your eyes and it'd be like Supermax and Batman's Low. There you go, lads. There's a whole bunch of chicken.
There you go, that's starting to say, isn't it?
Are the girls still in the line?
They are, yeah. It's very hard to get them to move from a Tuesday. Doesn't matter, you can offer them barbecues and free beer and everything. No, all in the calendar. That's how Run Gordon runs the whole show. Don't mess around.
So the girls have trained tonight, but you're sitting here barbecuing.
We've got training tomorrow night.
Recovery, recovery. You're dealing with the elite here.
Top score of the weekend, were you, kid?
I don't really know.
Well, you were claiming
it. Telling me.
He was claiming. Did you see that fella? He was claiming.
I know everyone else told me that, so I just said yeah.
Anyway, I told you. You know, right? He probably said wrote down a little black book somewhere between us. No.
One of the few times I can say it, but to be honest with you, I don't know what I scored.
I got 3-1 out of 5 shots. And the other one hit the crossbar and fell to him and he knocked it in, so I'm claiming that as an assist as well.
It doesn't take long for the conversation to turn to emigration. And that talk is by no means entirely negative.
A lot of my friends have left, but some of them are still there. A lot of them in Dublin at the moment. So, I went home, 3 weeks ago, and I spent a week travelling around Ireland just seeing everyone, so...
Have many left the country?
Nearly half my friends, I'd say.
As a matter of interest, are any of your mates playing for any of the clubs in Australia or America?
All my friends are playing, yeah, I'd say. Every one of them was nearly playing some club. But one of my friends who was called up to the Galway squad, basically he went off to Australia, he's playing with Perth, and he's their star man. Basically, whenever they're down, he just puts them up full forward and he drives them over the line every match. And they're all they want him to stay. He wants to come home next year to play hurling with Galway, but no, they're offering him too much money for jobs and everything just to keep him there. Yeah. Just to keep the guy, just to keep winning trophies, basically. It's more young people come, I'd say the GA will get stronger and that more, just get more skillful and stuff,
the like
faster.
That is that fellas like you, you're well educated and that kind of thing. You're doing a fairly sort of complicated job. You're a great footballer, and unfortunately, that means that you're not working for some company in Galway or in Dublin and playing for your club. Now, I mean, I'm very, very grateful to have you here, and Jesus, I hope they never let you go. But it means that, you know, the clubs back home are missing guys like you. And I was up in County Donegal recently, and every night we were on the way home, we'd be driving by the football pitch, and there's a lovely football pitch up there. Jesus, lads, we'd give our right arm to have it here. Never saw a sinner kick a ball.
Yeah, I was home a couple of weeks ago as well, or over the summer in July, and talking to the friends and the clubs around, they're really struggling for numbers now. Clubs that have been to Junior All-Irelands a couple of years ago, now they can hardly field the team. It's amazing.
I mean, myself and Mullen will probably be back home now if the economy was better and stuff. I've been here for 6 years, and I think the first two or two and a half were tough. It's hard to... Swedes are great and they're lovely people and everything, but the language barrier at the start. You go to a party and it's hard to make yourself... Hard to get your humour across and get your own personality across. Most of the lads here would say that's a good thing. But it is hard at the start, and I think after 2.5 years when I was here, when we were in a position to maybe try it and thinking about going back home, then everything kind of went wrong with the economy. And I'm from Waterford and I wouldn't want to move back and live in Dublin. We'd need to move to Dublin if we were both to get work. If I move home, I'd want to be near my family and friends, and at the moment I think Waterford's one of the worst hit areas. And now that we have our first child as well, the benefits for children over here are just so much better.
I think you're right in saying that too, Keith, in terms of, well, sometimes a lot of us were forced to leave. I was handcuffed to leave, but when you're forced to leave the country for your wife or your children or the economic thing, when I came here, I think you get your eyes opened up to the system that is here. We were talking about taking your parental leave and that. the time you have off, it's unbelievable. Like, so
medical and school.
Sick leave, exactly. Your sick leave.
The child care as well costs nothing, you know.
But sure, I said, I have brothers and sisters at home there, and it's costing them €100 a week to put the children in the kindergartens.
It's 200 in Dublin.
And sure, here, as I said, it would cost us €100 a month for the two kids.
But then it costs you €60 to bring one of the kids to the GP, whereas here you walk in and you don't put a hand in your pocket until
so that's what I'm saying.
You know?
All them things are, like I said, moving and every sad about home, but there's so many other doors have opened up because of that.
Well, you do have that missing home, and that doesn't
go away.
Even if you compare what you get here, and you know in your heart that what you get here is much better for the kids.
The other thing is, Kevin, the Dublin I left, and you know, all the lads, when you're all together and we're all single, and that doesn't exist anymore. So what I don't miss is being at home. What I miss is living with my mates in Dublin in 1996, 97, when we're all out having the crack. Because the fact of the matter is that none of my friends live that way anymore. They live nowhere near. They can't afford, or they couldn't afford, to move to where their parents were. So they live out in Source. Now they can't afford to sell their houses because they wouldn't get anything for them. So essentially, you know, if I was to go back to what I missed, it doesn't even exist.
So it's not an airplane you want as a time machine.
Exactly. It's a time machine. Never happened. Never satisfied. But then when you weigh that up to what we have here now, you know, that day we had on Saturday, you want to see the big smile on my face driving all the way up with all those trophies after taking them off the grass at Malmo. Jeez, it doesn't get any better.
It's been a real eye-opener of a week for me. I've seen up close a perfect example of a GAA club abroad benefiting from and also helping many of those who have, for whatever reason, left Ireland for pastures new over the past few years. It's a conundrum Philip fully appreciates.
The clubs back home are destroyed, but the converse of that is the clubs like ours and clubs abroad in Luxembourg and in The Hague and in Australia and in San Francisco, they have any amount of players. We had a tournament this year in Stockholm. We fielded 53 players. 53 players. That's two 11-a-side men's teams, and I think it was either two or three ladies' teams. We had players coming out of the woodwork. Malmo a few years ago had maybe 13 men on the panel, and there's over 30 players. There's a whole new women's team that didn't exist last year. The devastation that's happening to small communities at home is actually, unfortunately, it's benefiting us in the European and the global GAA scene.